Today's episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There is brought to you by Dow Vineyards and Winery, an exceptional wine tasting experience just a few hours outside of L.A. Immerse yourself in beautiful views, world-class wine, and feeling like you are part of the Dow family. Go to dowvineyards.com/don't-make-me-come-back there for an exclusive offer for backseaters. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I am a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me is Stephen English, the co-host, the sole producer, and the aspiring stand-up comedian.
One day I'll get up on stage.
One day. You will pursue your dreams.
My New Year's resolution is to get up there.
You're around it. You're like Rudy. You'll get in the game.
Yeah. People always tell me I'm just a silly guy. Like, I have a mug. That says, I have a mug at work
you
that's really
do
silly.
Comedy.
People are like, that's a silly mug.
You people always tell me that I should do comedy. We did a show this last week. I was in Addison, Texas, with just outside of Dallas with one Taylor Tomlinson.
Hello.
And someone came up and she's like, you and me are the same. She told that to Taylor. You and me are the exact same. Like, everybody tells me I'm funny and you're like, we think the same way.
Right.
And I was like, as soon as we walked away, I was like, you guys are the same in no way whatsoever. The only thing that you are her, but with talent and ambition.
Right.
Like I told her, I was like, you are a 26-year-old girl and I am a 35-year-old father of three. And you and I have more in common than you and that. Drunk lady. Right. But anyways, what I'm saying is, you know, keep your head down.
Yeah.
You know.
Nose to the grindstone.
Be the ball.
Right.
You know, I think that's one thing that comedians struggle with the most is being the ball.
Right. Right, right. You miss 100% of the shots. You don't shoot. If you don't shoot that shot, then you're going to miss it.
Dick Cheney. Hey-o, we got political right there, huh? No, did you get that reference?
He shot the guy in the face, and then the guy apologized.
Yeah.
Which is the ultimate flex.
Right, that is
flex
true. Yeah.
Times a million.
Welcome to our little podcast, Backseaters. Hey. It is so great to have you here. We love you.
Yep.
We thank you.
Yep.
We adore you.
Yep.
And I can't believe that you guys listen to us. I think later this month, we were just talking, I think we're going to hit 500,000 downloads. That's insane.
That's crazy.
That is absolute madness. Yeah. We are grateful, so 100%. Grateful. You know, this little podcast that could is because of you guys and because of you guys telling your friends and spreading the word on the socials and all those kind of things.
All the graffiti you've been doing is really nice. Thank
man,
you so much.
Man, that's paid off. You guys have...
Thank you so much.
Yeah, all that guerrilla marketing.
Right. Yeah, that's when you just tell a gorilla something.
Mm-hmm.
You just tattoo it on a gorilla.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then the gorillas they just hang out.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all you need.
Just pounds his chest.
It's just a walking billboard. It's
and
pretty cool.
He pounds his chest to the tune of our theme song. Da-na-na-na, da-da-na-na-na, da-da-na. That's good.
It's pretty sweet.
It's really, really good.
It's pretty sweet.
Today's episode, we have as our guest, comedian, actor, Dove Davidoff.
Yep.
Dove is, truth be told, one of my favorite comedians. I say that a lot on these. I mean it on this one. Dove is so, so funny. I adore him as a comedian.
Yeah.
I've known who Dove was for a long time. I had the first chance to work with Dove a few years ago up in Bellevue, Washington, at a club called The Parlor, which disappeared in the middle of the night. True story.
Really?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Like, without giving refunds.
Absconded.
Yeah, exactly. Just gone. Gone. Like,
that's my dream.
Yeah.
It was 100% my dream. Yeah. One day everyone be like,
I mean, honestly, like, there was supposed to be a show like that weekend and they're like, oh no, we're not here. And, like, nobody knows how to get a hold of any of them, just gone. So, and it wasn't just like a comedy club. It was like a comedy club. And, like, I don't know if everything else went away. There was like a nightclub and stuff attached.
Sure.
So Dove and I would do the shows, and then a couple of the nights we would go out to the little bar area and play pool. And, I remember one night there was a Nirvana cover band, which I certainly enjoyed every piece of that. They were very good too. I remember that. And we just kind of got to know each other and stayed in touch a little bit. And then, 2 months ago he was, in town here, playing American Comedy Company. And, We went. I reached out to him. Said I'd love to have you. This Dove is married, and he is a new father. And we talk a lot about that. We talk about marriage and communication, and we talk about childhood and parenting and all kinds of stuff. Dove, as you will see here, is like a deep. Dove is a deep thinker. He is a heavy thinker, and like this was like one of those like I was focused.
Yeah.
Like to like. To make sure I just wasn't, I mean, I was the idiot in the room.
Sure, sure.
And I many times am, but right. was so blatantly the idiot in the room right, right here right, that right. I was just like, you might even, if I don't seem loose, which hopefully I feel okay, it was because I was like, I'm straining right now.
You're just trying to, yeah, you're just trying to
hang. Because right. he talks philosophy and, you know, epistemology and all this kind of stuff. I mean, the guy is like a heavy, deep thinker. And it's a really, it's a funny episode. And there is some levity and stuff to it. But it also, I think it's got some heart to it.
Oh, nice.
And it's got some brain to it.
Oh.
All the Doves.
Yeah.
And mine that he's just whipping around like Thor or like Hulk Loki, on Loki. Yeah, yeah you got it.
Yeah, I got
but
it.
But then he did it to Thor in Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about things
now
I
we're
know
back.
About.
Yeah, now. Thank you. Woo, thank goodness.
Oh, now we're back. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Dove is also an actor, and he was my favorite part of Pete Holmes' show, Crashing. He played. Did you watch Crashing at
I
all?
I watched the first two.
He was
first
the, he was
season
the,
and a
he
half.
Was the Boston or whatever that club's name was. He was the owner, like this, the old kind of like hacky,
okay.
jaded road yeah. dog type guy. It was really funny. Yeah, and he's been in a ton of stuff. But anyways, also check out his Tonight Show set. I love this Tonight Show set. So enjoy this episode with Dove. A couple other things for you before we get going. At the end of the month, at the end of this month,
yeah.
we've got something coming for you guys.
Coming right at
something,
you.
It's one word. It's either two or three syllables, depending on how you pronounce it.
Right.
Patreon. How do you hit that with two or three syllables?
Patreon. Three.
Three.
You got to do the, what you do, your hand on your like, Patreon.
And Patreon, hit, yeah. 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 And no, Patreon. Patreon, if you guys aren't familiar, Patreon is a really cool site that was created for artists and individuals and little community projects such as this
yeah.
That just gives you guys an opportunity to get kind of more out of the podcast, more from us, more from me, with a little extra money being spent here. This right. podcast is something that we're happy to give out for free,
100%.
But we have a ton of other like content from this and in and around this podcast that we would love to give you some cool swag,
yeah.
That we'll give you,
yeah,
swag that leads to swag.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And that,
swagadocious.
You'll have an opportunity to come in at a low level if you just want to get like a little extra content here and there, and also some higher levels. And we'll go do the different kind of tiers that you guys can, you know, become Patreons at. Or
right.
Patrons.
Patrons. Yeah.
That's where it gets confused. Patreon, but you'll become patrons of this
patrons.
Podcast,
yeah.
which just means you're further in the community. You're
and
supporters.
And you get to drink some Patron.
You get to get some Patron.
Yeah.
Absolutely. and there are really some cool things around, particularly attached to our podcast here, Don't Make Me Come Back There,
yeah.
That I think you guys are going to like background information on interviews, extra content from us, extra content from our guests, and extra content from me specifically. So, we're going to have more details on that in the coming weeks, and
yeah.
then we're going to launch it the last Tuesday of this month. I'll
nice.
Announce it, and it'll be live that day, and I would love to see you guys backseaters get involved in that. And one of the things that we're most excited about, that along with that will come access to an online community where you guys can kind of discuss episodes
yeah.
and talk about it. And Steven and I'll be on there, probably more me than Steven. Steven's a busy man.
I am, dude.
He's a very busy man.
I just got a bunch of coals in the fire.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, right now.
And I'm very scared my house is going to burn down.
He doesn't even have a fireplace.
It doesn't even have a roof.
No.
For some of it.
It is.
If you watch the video this week, you'll see.
I wanted to say.
I'm missing part of my ceiling.
It's in the pack and play. It took me a while to remember what a pack and play was called, which shows that I don't have an infant anymore.
Right.
Praise
right.
the Lord. Praise the mount. I'm fixed upon it. You don't know that song.
I got that crystal clear.
Also, if any of you guys are interested in coming to see me do some stand-up comedy, I'd sure love to see you at some shows. We got a couple coming up, ones that we're real excited about. We've got February 9th, that's coming up real close, in Spokane at Spokane Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. February 26th at Zany's Comedy Club. February 27th at the Improv in Raleigh. April 16th at the Improv in Ontario, California. And May 14th through 17th at the Tacoma Comedy Club. That's going to be 7 shows out there. That one and has 2 shows that are 13 and older. And then the Spokane Comedy is 13 and older, too. So if you got some chitlins.
Right. They still have to drink 2 drinks, though.
2 milks. No, Joe.
Patron for the patrons on Patreon.
Excellent.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know.
So sure. Well, and if you guys want further information on that, go to DustinNickerson.com/show. So a couple other things. I just want, you know, we have a couple things, little items of business that we would like to get in with you guys. In addition to the Patreon, one, your guys' reviews, we love them so much.
Right.
You give us those little reviews. And what I've noticed, what I love, I want to do a little challenge.
Okay.
I want to give some more posters away. I want to give couple signed posters away.
Yeah.
I like doing the signed posters. And what this one is forgive me if you have already given us a 5-star review and you can't do it again, because iTunes won't allow that, so you're ineligible for that. But for those of you that haven't, give us some more 5-star reviews, and in the comments, give us like your best or favorite or what you think is like the funniest inside joke of this podcast.
Okay.
Because I think that like all that stuff like makes me giggle so much. Or even like this one that I saw most recently, this came from Cowboy Rob K. And it said 5 stars, subject frozen pants. This guy freezes his dirty jeans, which was me talking about that on somebody else's podcast, Annie Downs's podcast.
Hilarious.
About how I don't wash my jeans. I just put them in the freezer. And he still gave us, and it made me giggle.
Right.
So do that. Give me some.
Right.
Remind us of your favorite inside jokes of this podcast.
Right.
Whatever they may be.
Yeah.
Today I got someone just tagged me on Instagram. This one today, can Tony Ravioli please be a guest spot from now on? all those kind of things are just the best. Sometimes, admittedly, Steven and I are like still surprised that anybody listens to this podcast.
Yeah,
100%. And we're like, wow, that is news to all of us. and we'll give a couple posters away or stickers away or something to some of our favorite one of those. So do that, and then we'll announce the ones that we really like here on the podcast, and you'll send us your address, and we'll give as many steps as possible. And then maybe it'll get forgotten about. No,
I'm sorry.
I
got caught between a cough and a yawn at the same time.
I'm sorry, you guys. Steven just died. Okay, 2 things before we get into this episode. 1, we're talking about Patreon reviews. Okay, boom. We do have 1 email from you guys. Before we get into that, I want to tell you something to say. So today I took my daughters shopping.
Okay.
They had some Christmas money.
Oh, okay.
And we like to get the new year started right with just continuing on with the Christmas spirit of celebration of materialism.
Right.
And so we're hitting all the spots that little 12-year-olds go. We're going to Claire's.
Oh, sure.
We're going to Tilly's.
Sure.
Tilly's is hot. Justice.
Love it. I love all those places. Yeah, you could find me at the UTC Justice every weekend. I'm getting my belly button pierced. I'm getting my ears pierced.
So our youngest, who also coincidentally happens to be named Claire, she was having a moment. And so I sat her down. I was like, do you want me to tell you a story? So I decided I would make up a story. And I do this periodically.
Sure.
And we're like face to face. And so I see her nose. And that's the jumping point. You know, you're always looking some for some, you know, you start. So once upon a time, there was a nose. So I created this tale. So this was a nose without a face.
Okay.
And it was a very sad life for this nose, you know, that wasn't attached to a face. And he spent his whole life wandering the world looking for a noseless face, you know, that they could become one with.
Yeah.
And he would go all to these humans, these people, and everyone had noses, and he would sniff, but he can't see, so it was very challenging. He would have to sniff, and it's like, oh, he knew what a nose smelled like, and every time, and he would be like, oh, no, I can't. And those noses would be very rude to him, you know, like, you don't belong here. This is my face. You
appropriate.
Don't yeah, absolutely.
Appropriate.
And every once in a while.
Every nose should do that to other noses.
And he couldn't
noses.
See, so every once in a while, he would smell a butt on accident, and he'd be like, oh, was this, so, and it was you know, and you gotta put in a little pot of humor to get the laugh, you know? And And you just realize this is it. I'm just going to have this life by myself. And he's feeling very sad. And then one day, as he was sitting and feeling sorry for himself, he saw a dingo. I don't know why it was a dingo, but you never know what animal is going to pop in.
Sure.
And he could smell that there was something wrong with this dingo, or different about this dingo. And he realized that this dingo didn't have a nose.
Okay.
And they began to kind of just have this conversation of the dingo felt left out because it didn't have a nose.
Sure.
And it was so important for a dingo to have a nose,
right
for hunting. And so it had kind of been left by its pack. And so they were both by themselves and they were feeling uncomfortable and whether or not, you know, can this happen? I don't know if I can be your nose or if you're, you know, if you can, if I can be on your face and all these things. And finally, the dingo said to the nose, he says, "I don't think that you can be my nose. It's too weird. People will think it's too weird for us."
Right.
And the nose said, "I would rather people think us be weird than to be alone."
Yeah.
And it touched the heart of the dingo and they became one.
Yeah.
And I told the story and I got emotional telling the story. And I asked my daughter, I was like, "Do you understand it? Do you get the story?" And she goes, "It's terrible." She just went straight out. She went terrible. And I go, "What do you mean?" And then the only other thing she did was give me a thumbs down.
Right.
"Is she terrible? Thumbs down." That was her whole review of my story. And I asked her to tell me a better story. And she said, "One time a dog, not even creative, went into a Tilly's, bought some Adidas and a bracelet, and now this dog had drip." The end. I was like, "This."
Hey, I would say this, concise. That's a Reader's Digest story right there. It had a beginning, had a middle, had an end.
Yeah.
Product placement, which is always good in this day and age. You got to
make more money.
Yeah, you got to make some money. Yeah, she's
pretty
got commercial
good for
appeal.
An improv story for me, though, right? I mean, to riff
good.
That.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's actually very good.
That could be a kid's book, right?
And you know what? You write a good enough kid's book, it will become a Netflix.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have two books. That one's Llama Red Pajamas.
Yep. Yeah.
Now a Netflix show.
Yeah.
It's literally
no more drama. Red. Yeah.
It's
exactly.
A book about a llama who says, "Mama, I want you to come in and kiss me goodnight." And he's yelling about it.
And mom's on the phone with the long cord.
Right.
On the phone.
Right. Yeah. And then she comes up there. She's like, "Hey, here
llamas
I am."
Llamas don't have cell phones.
And the llama goes, "Cool." And that's the end of the story. That is now a show on Netflix. That person who wrote that book doesn't need to write anything ever again.
Yeah.
I'm sure they could, if they wanted to, they could just probably chill forever.
I will say that Llama Red Pajama is catchier than Dingo in the Nose. No,
Dingo in the Nose.
Dingo in the Nose is pretty good.
Sounds like a 70s
band.
Like an 80s, like when everything, like Yahoo Serious and Paul Hogan was coming over, like everything was like Australian.
Yeah.
So Dingo in the Nose would have been like a good buddy cop.
Yeah,
serial.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Dingo in the Nose.
Dingo in the Nose and the Nose.
Oh yeah, the Nose. It's actually just old offensive language for a Jewish person.
I was gonna say the don't. Yeah.
Like, oh gosh, you can't. Can you believe they used to call him that?
And then the Dingo's like, you know, he's just a rough and tumble Aussie boy. Just out there solving crimes, throwing boomerangs.
I'd watch that show.
I would write that show.
So you like Claire's story better?
No. I just think that there's a lot going there.
You know what? Hers is a better tweet. There's
you
no
come
doubt
in,
about that.
You come in, you're pitching. I see your pitch first. I'm like, I like that. Yeah. There's a lot of heart. Her pitch comes in. I'm like, first of all, the dog, it's a lot easier to draw a dog.
Are you going to tell me you couldn't see a movie called Drip Dogs?
Drip Dogs. It would be one of those like eggs that you get and you open up and it's like, here's the drip dog. And it's like, this one's doozy drip. And it's just like a different blind box dog. See, hers has commercial appeal, bro.
Oh, Drip Dogs is huge.
You can maybe get like an independent spirit award.
Mine'll win an award.
You'll get an independent spirit award.
Yeah.
Hers will make the big bucks.
That's exactly right. Hers is a Michael Bay movie.
Right. Right. Megan Fox is definitely the voice of one of them.
Mine'll win the award. Yeah. Okay. One last thing. We have an email from you guys. You guys do love our parenting advice that probably won't work or bad parenting advice, whatever we like to call it. This is from Rachel. Wasn't today. She sent it on January 1st.
Rachel.
I like that. She's starting the year off right.
Yeah,
listening to this pod.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel says, "Front seaters. I'm working on potty training my 2-year-old, and he does okay at home. But whenever we go to someone else's house or out in public, he refuses to use another toilet. He will insist that he has to go back to the potty at his house. Any suggestions? Thanks, and love the show. Go. What's your suggestion here? I mean, you've never potty trained a child, but you are potty trained.
I have. I've my nephew. I watched my nephew when I was younger over the summers, and this is terrible. This is what a 19-year-old would do, which is what I was at the time. When he would like poop in his diaper, and we'd always tell him, "Hey, you gotta tell us like before you poop." And he would say, "Okay." Then he'd poop in his diaper, and he had man sized dukes, so you would smell it.
Yeah, that is a thing about the bowel movements are bigger than they should be at that age. I know.
Like, I was kind of jealous sometimes. Talk, like, man, that's nice.
You know, they talk about the intestine really wraps around in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So does everything else.
So I would smell it and I'd be like, "Hey, did you go potty?" And he would say, "No." And I would say, "Okay." You didn't? Fine. Just let him chill in it.
Oh, yeah.
And you could tell he's getting uncomfortable. And I'd be like, "Hey, let's sit down.
Let's
he'd be
sit
like,
down.
"No." And then he'd be like, all him and a hon.
"Hey, you
like,
want to get on my sit and spin, buddy?"
Yeah. And then 10 minutes later, he'd be like, "I pooped." I'd be like, "Yeah, see how terrible that 10 minutes was? Next time, you tell me you told me this 12 minutes ago, we could have been playing for 10 minutes instead of you sitting here in your dookie diapers."
Yeah.
And I would just do that every day. Like, just tell him, "All right, you want
this is,
I'll let you sit in it, man.
This is me on my road trips right now." Right. After 15 minutes, I just look at Melissa and I go, "I pooped." I'm sorry.
That's it.
Like, "I told you."
Yeah.
"I told you. There was a Love's gas station back there.
Right.
We had space.
There was a giant Buc-ee's."
Buc-ee's. That is solid advice. That doesn't on this issue specifically.
Right.
When you say any suggestions, first off, your kid is using this to cover up something else. Your kid hates people.
Right.
Your kid doesn't want to go to your friend's house.
No.
Your kid, best case scenario is an introvert.
Right.
Worst case scenario is intolerant.
Yeah, worst case scenario.
He doesn't want to share a toilet with your friends.
Right.
So let's pull back.
Yeah.
Tell me more about your friends.
Right.
Is your son a racist?
Right.
Is this what's going on here? Is he a classist? Are these not nice enough toilets for him?
It's probably that there's not a bidet. You probably got a fancy Japanese toilet.
Is he upset that there is not someone in there to wash him as he finishes?
Like an attendant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Giving him some certs.
Is it something more practical? Do you have a squatty potty at home? And
sure.
He has gotten used to that at a young age.
Right.
So my first thing would, you know, they always talk about, you know, deal with the heart issues of the child and not, you know, just the practical issues right in front of you.
Right.
And I would say, you know, is your child intolerant? Does your child hate other, and I don't mean like individuals, like I don't like certain people. I mean, does your child hate other groups of people?
Right.
And find out which groups.
Right.
And then from there, you know, I would probably put him up for adoption in an area that only that group can adopt him.
Sure.
You know,
solid.
He should be raised by that group.
Solid. Solid advice. Nothing. I mean, very few notes. very few notes on that. But I mean, you do get it. Because I am a person who I enjoy a home game.
Yeah.
But I can do it. I can still dominate on the road.
One or two.
I can dominate on the road.
You'll go for two on the road.
I'll
go for the
two.
2-point conversion.
At my work, we don't have we have to share the whole building.
Yeah.
We share a toilet with the whole building.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly in public bathrooms every single day of my life.
Oh man.
And I like on the home, but I'm a road. I could dominate on the road, man.
Yeah.
That's how you become a pooping champion.
You're a road warrior.
You become a pooping.
You're Russell Wilson right now.
Exactly.
7-1 on the road.
It's great to have the 12th man.
Yeah.
And that's someone. It's great to have the 12th man behind you. Everyone's cheering for you.
Someone raises the flag.
Yeah. You have a whole thing at home, but you know, sometimes hostile environments.
Oh my gosh. I started off talking about how insightful and thoughtful Dove is,
yeah.
And then this is the segue that we give you. Dove, if you're listening, I apologize. You are a far classier individual than this intro that we gave you. Thank you guys so much for listening to our podcast. Yeah, don't forget to rate and review and give us those little inside jokes and please those do. Type things. And if you have other questions, shoot us an email at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com
mm-hmm.
or voicemail at 619-292-8787. All right, you guys, enjoy this episode with Dove. You're the best. Thank you.
Bye. Just it's when you have a new kid, yeah, you'd rather not be out for too long on the road. Yeah, that makes sense.
No, yeah, you miss them. So,
yeah, sure, you miss the kid.
I feel like that's a question that I get all the time. Like, oh, you know, how do you do it? How do you do it? Yeah, I'm not sure what you want me to say.
I don't know. I don't know what that means. I mean, how do you do anything? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I have to do what I have to do.
Right, right.
How do you do it? You know, it's like. You do what you got to do. They yeah. book a date. I go do the date. You know, it's not.
Yeah, this is how you make money.
Yeah, it's one of the ways I make money, and so and it's also about doing the thing. It's like if I'm in New York, there are 15-minute spots at clubs.
Right.
You're not running 50 minutes, and it's a different kind of thing. And so, if you want to get tight and you know, get an hour together. I mean, this is. It's the way you do it.
Yeah. You come to San Diego and sweat it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the case of that club last night, for context. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. How old's the kiddo now?
11. 1 year old.
Okay.
1 year. Yeah.
Walking?
Yeah. He just started walking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a total game changer when that thing can move.
It's a game changer. It really is, man. Yeah. It's a real game changer. Yeah.
What's his name?
Emerson.
Emerson.
Yeah.
Emerson. Emerson's on the move.
He's on the move, yeah.
So did it go, I mean, just out of curiosity, dad to dad, when Emerson was born, did you take any laps? I mean, like a week or a month, or were you like, hey, I got to get back on stage?
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't think about it like that. I mean, I go to the club at night, you know? There's no impact in leaving the house for 2 hours to go back and forth from the comedy club.
Right.
It's going on the road that I didn't do for first couple of months when my wife is at home, or, you know, with the kid alone with a newborn. But, but no, I still went into the comedy cellar in the at night. Yeah.
You had to work it out.
Nah.
Oh, it's what you do. You don't.
It's just what I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing I had to work out. It's the rhythm of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, every now and then there is something you have to work out, you know, but not in this case.
Yeah. No. I love it. Yeah. I love it. It is kind of, just like it's what you know to do. It's like, I know this is this identity.
What the fuck else what I do.
Yeah, right.
I sit at a web, would stare at my wife and kid. The kid's sleeping. You know. My wife wants me out of the house anyway. It's like, you just go.
We all win in this scenario. The Emerson's looking for a break.
Yeah.
Everybody could use a Duff break.
Yeah.
Well, it was awesome to hang out last night. I can't tell you, and this is a personal. My wife, you know, she's a comedy wife. She's been in and around some things and is legitimately nervous, starstruck around you.
Ah, listen, that's unfortunate. She
was familiar with her comedy and loves it. Also, to us, you were the highlight of Crashing, and so
it's nice to be appreciated, but all the rest of it's bullshit.
No.
Yeah.
Do you not receive compliments well? Or
I don't receive them well. No.
No. That's okay.
No, I don't.
But insults or do you receive them the same?
I don't know. Insults, it depends on the insult.
Yeah.
I think about it, you know. I try never to just be defensive because then I don't learn anything. So I just try to think through what the insult is, if it does or doesn't add up.
Right.
You know, but I'm reactive, so I'll react to things, you know, if I feel like someone's trying to do something. But if someone's just saying, having an opinion, you know, then I'll listen to it. If they're just trying to insult me, then I'll react, usually.
I'm
not good at not reacting. Yeah.
But I like that you're trying to at least evaluate, is there any validity to what's being said right now?
I think that's the only way to do this life, man. Mm. I think we all have to. It's all of that with Brene Brown leaning into shame, or Ray Dalio wrote that book Principles. You know, it's like that's the way to grow. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what dynamism is. It's leaning into things that may not be particularly comfortable and or scare you.
Mm.
You know, and so if that's an idea or language, it's like
you know, I mean, if it's just some dopey jerk, I'll just,
right,
you know, I'll say fuck you, but
yeah,
but you know, I like to learn things.
Yeah. Is it easy for you to remove the emotional response from that?
What do you mean?
When some, like you said, you're trying to learn, and like, I'll just speak personally. Yeah, I mean, sure, I'm like you in that, like, a compliment does nothing for me.
Well, I don't think it does nothing for me. It's meaningful if it's a meaningful compliment,
okay,
and I appreciate it.
Okay.
But, you know, just overall, it all depends on the compliment, you know? It's like, I mean, some are more meaningful than others.
Right, right. Yeah. The well, then I'll say on the other side, when if someone leans in with critique, even if it's critique, insult, criticism, what it is,
right?
And this is this area for me to grow for sure. Is there's a defense, immediate defense mechanism.
Yeah, we all, I think, feel it. It's just about mitigating it and not allowing it to rise to the surface, because once we're defensive, then it generally distances the other person.
Know,
right?
Nothing so to grow from that.
Well, there's no more engagement, so you can't grow. It's like one of the problems I have with my wife is her level of defensiveness. And if we safe space, it's just not dynamic. You end up talking about the weather, or you're only complimentary as opposed to being, you know, the compliment is valuable as well. You don't want to walk around with any without any sense of approbation, I think would be a word, but... But the criticism is arguably more constructive in a life, or productive possibly, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I suppose I'm thinking about it philosophically. Compliment is just saying, like, good job to you where you're at.
Right.
You've done it. This is a thing. You've worked hard.
And that's nice, you know, and it's appreciated. But, it's like, you know, it's like, thanks, and then you move on.
I'm immediately flashback to doing this weekend with you 2 years ago at the
parlor.
Oh, in
Seattle,
being, again, caught off guard by how deep of a thinker you are. And I'm so into
it. Listen, I don't know about
that. No, it is. I just got to turn it on with you a little bit.
I don't. Yeah, I do have trouble sometimes relating because, I like to talk about things, you know, and so when people are just talking, there's just a buzz. It's like a hum, you know, which is a problem in my personal life. I have issues with it. I was reading about The Undoing Project by Michael Lewis. It's about the relationship between Daniel Kahneman, the thinking fast, thinking slow psychologist, and his partner. And this guy would sort of disappear from social events, or when he was at a party or whatever, he had to make peace with his wife, but he said the price for him that he needed to pay in order to be social in the general sense was simply too high. The psychological price was too high for him to just generate conversation unless it tapped into something he was genuinely engaged by, you know. And it's not a great, it's not a super comfortable way to move through life, I don't think.
These are conversations without those words that my wife and I have been having about me in the last 2 weeks.
Right.
I'll give an example. We had to go to an end of the year Little League party.
We're with the kid.
My oldest, you know, it's fall ball. It's the coach and it's the other parents.
Right.
And it's talking about school pickups and drop offs. And it's talking about what high school are we zoned for? And all the stuff that, like you said, like the hum to me, it almost causes physical discomfort.
I very much relate. We just have to be able to engage, to the degree that we don't jam ourselves up. And so it's like, I just said to my wife, if something's important to you, I'll go.
Right.
But it better not be important to you a lot. You know, I mean, like pick and choose the spaces, you know, like I'll make an effort and eat the discomfort and the boredom, but just don't do that to me often, you know.
Yeah. You only get so many asks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I don't expect her try to engage in environments where I'm more comfortable and she's not comfortable.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe I didn't marry the right person.
No, I mean, what marriage isn't filled with compromise? What relationship isn't filled with compromise?
That's right. It's just about the degree of compromise and how muscular is the daily negotiation
to
process the personality.
Yeah, because even like brothers and sisters and friends, and we all kind of have that. It's just a little less. In a marriage, you have to articulate it a little more.
Oh, it's so much more. It's so much more challenging in a relationship. It's comparable in a general sense, but it's almost not really because of the proximity, mm-hmm. and of the frequency and the duration. Like I'm thinking of like Dan Natterman is a good friend of mine, mm-hmm. and I meet him on Tuesdays for we go to dinner or whatever, and Dan will like stand in the middle of a hallway. People are walking by. I'm like, could you move to the side of the hallway and show some awareness here? Now, if I had to do that, if I had to deal with him every day, it would become an issue. I can live with it.
Yeah.
You know, once on Tuesdays, yeah. I can live with it.
You have a quota.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think friendships are a lot of that. We don't have to process together anywhere near the same degree we would need to had we were, you know, in an intimate relationship.
Right. Well, because a friendship, you can just be done at any time.
Yeah,
or
you can hang out and do a few hours and you go live your life.
I have certain friends that we maybe had like an emotional depth at some point, and now you just, because we all change, and some people don't change. That to me is the hardest part. When I change and somebody else doesn't change.
The lack of evolution and self-awareness. Yeah, right. Of course.
Isn't that crazy? You just, you talk to, and you're just, man, you were still holding on. I'm more concerned about the person that never changes their belief than anybody. Like that there's some character and virtue and resolve to be like, this is the first thing that I was ever taught, and now I believe forever. How lucky are you that you got taught correctly the very first thing you were ever taught?
They didn't.
Yeah.
They got taught incorrectly, and that's why they stopped growing.
Right.
I think. If they were taught correctly, it would be leaning into more awareness, mm-hmm. and you would inevitably, I think, you would get a sense of growth.
Right.
I think.
I
think that would be being taught correctly.
Mm-hmm. I feel like... I think you're right, and I feel like generally the growth that I see in most humans are when they are, it's less about what they believe, it's more about how they live it out, what they believe, why they believe it, and it's always marked by like empathy and compromise.
Yeah, sure it is.
Hey, you believe that? That's great.
Right.
I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's just all related to the objective. Like, what is the objective? If I'm in a relationship, the objective is to try to get along and raise my kid in an environment where there isn't too much strife, you mm-hmm. know. And then, mm-hmm. and it's, and I think I'm currently failing, but I'm trying not to fail
on the too much strife part.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. I am currently failing.
Yeah.
And the confusing part is I don't know how much is me. And how much is her?
Yeah.
Because I definitely see her defects. They're mm-hmm. very real. They're not just figments.
Yeah.
But I have a kind of winding intensity that produces a, you know. It's funny, the same thing that works sometimes for a joke or, mm-hmm. you know, I'm in business. And some of the things that work in those areas don't work in a relationship.
And they can be harmful. Like that's the old quote. Sometimes your greatest strengths are your greatest liabilities.
Cross to bear. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Cross to bear.
That same emotional intensity.
Right.
And that same scrutiny that you put everything through. The dove like sees the life through of like everything goes through this radar.
Yeah, that's right.
Now you put that on a person and they're like, whoa.
Yes. That's right.
That's a little much. I'm just trying to have some coffee. I'd love to have a coffee.
I know. And I'm not sure what to do about it. I can only try to mitigate it a bit.
Mm.
But then I sometimes think if I were with somebody who were a little more like me, but then perhaps I would hate them for other reasons.
Right.
You know? Those are very confusing kinds of considerations because they're innately neurotic. There's mm-hmm. no answer to them.
Right.
You know, and it's just these, it's ethereal and annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does your wife live in the ethereal, the esoteric at all?
No. Totally.
She's a fastball down the middle.
Down the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's salt of the earth, but she's not curious intellectually. She's not. So we don't. I don't know.
Yeah.
She's a good mom, you know, but we wouldn't have been friends, which is a problem. Which is a problem.
You're a good mom, but not a good hang. Is that But those
are
different.
No, I think she can be a good hang.
Yeah.
In some context, you know.
Yeah.
In kind of, she's quiet. She's more easily satisfied. More go with the flow. And I value those components. But at the same time, we're just it's oil and water in other areas, and so it's, I don't know.
That's an interesting thing because a marriage, almost kind of what we're coming back to the friends, is how different. You said like she's like it's great in some ways,
right?
But in like a marriage,
right?
Because of the foreverness of it,
right?
It has to be. There's a pressure on it to be great in all ways. Hey, it's great to vacation together. It's great to hang out together. It's great to work. My wife and I, I told her recently, we were like working on like a little project together, she like lost her mind on when I just looked at her. I was like, you are a nightmare to work with.
Yeah.
Like, I like you. I like spending time with you.
Feel like that about my deal too.
Yeah. That there are certain areas where it's just like,
Those areas, like if I'm going to work with somebody, they have to be able to hear my criticism and or assessment.
Right.
Without being defensive.
Yeah.
Otherwise we can't work together.
Yeah.
We need to, you know. Yeah, I mean there are books about this and stuff. I mean, in order to create efficiency or achieve an objective or be competitive or whatever work involves, it's like you can't push back every time I have an observer, you know, it's
right.
Like, and I have to live by the same rule set obviously, right. but you know, it's a weird game. It's a slippery game.
Yeah. You then now throw the let's raise a child together now too.
Yeah.
Which we felt early and still see and I witnessed in a lot of you don't realize what all was put on you.
Right.
Until it's time to put that on somebody else or not put that on them.
Yeah, there's all of that. I mean, I don't know. I haven't become anxiety ridden around any of that stuff yet. I'm sure as the kid gets older and you have to question your own advice and hope that you're providing them with
the
best example.
You're not giving a lot of guidance yet.
Not yet.
It switches from physically to emotionally hard as they get older.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're running around all the time at first and then as soon as they can deal with some of life on their own, then it becomes challenging emotionally and psychologically.
It's heavy. Your kids bring heavy stuff to you.
Yeah.
A lot. You know, when you, you know, especially like the types of questions that like, so my son's in middle school.
Right.
The types of questions that are like put in front of him regarding depression and, you know, sexual orientation.
Right.
And, you know, various disorders
and
all these and school shootings. All the, I mean, his kid is 12.
Yeah.
And it's bam. I mean, it's right there.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah,
I was just worried if I was going to make the JV or the varsity team at his age, at least as I look back. But like, you know, there's so much heady pressure that when your kid comes to you and asks you these things, it's I mean, I don't know if I figured that out for myself yet.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine a lot of people share that experience, you know, I mean, a lot of parents, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel a pressure to have my own stuff figured out, but I don't.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it's just a matter of degrees and the amount of stuff because nobody has it all figured out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
You know, nobody's got that.
But, yeah.
But certainly there are people who have put pieces together,
better
than the average wacko walking around out there. You know, it's like,
you more so, I guess I'm trying to just give him like blocks of like, listen, there's a lot of, or like, you know, there's tuning and there's fine tuning. Like, I can't do a lot of the fine tuning.
But you're smart and reflective, and he'll internalize that. The problem, I mean, I don't know. I think it's like, you know, you kind of teach a man to fish thing. You know?
Right.
And I think he's going to internalize a lot of that, whereas these parents that are just not reflective and defensive and kind of, I think they're going to raise somebody that's going to have trouble bumping up against the world.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you want your kid to
you
be
gotta, able to. They have to be able to self-correct.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And if you don't give them the tools to do that,
right.
It's going to be a tough road for them.
And it seems like the tools to do that are just to model it for.
It is, yeah, well, which is why, you know, if you look at certain socioeconomic kind of demographics in certain communities in the hood and elsewhere, it's like there are other problems other than just what's going on psychologically. But I know I grew up in a working class environment. Like, kids were not outfitted to go out into the world and do okay. There
right.
were all these, yeah, just all kinds of dysfunctional cultural components.
Yeah.
You know, that
yeah.
you're like, oh, this is not going to fare well in the
they have no shot.
Wider world. Well, statistically, they don't have a great shot.
Right.
It's not just my opinion. It's mm-hmm. statistically, if you come from a certain environment, you're likely to perpetuate the circumstances of that environment. You
right,
know?
Right.
So few people. And so, yeah, no, it's a big, it's a larger cultural issue we're all having too, right?
Yeah.
You know, that never ends.
Not to feel that burden at all, but.
No,
yeah.
But it's like I was just reading this Wittgenstein, the philosopher. I was reading up something about his family, and they were in Vienna, in early 20th century Vienna, 19-something. And the level of culture and sort of, they didn't create hedonists, you
mm-hmm.
know? It's like there was no social media, Kardashian,
right.
Like you would feel deep shame. You would have
right.
brought massive shame on your family to behave in a dopey, hedonistic way.
Yeah.
You know, without, I don't know, sort of, there was something tighter about
mm-hmm.
the culture,
mm-hmm.
at least, you know, what I'm reading. You know, I'm sure they had their issues.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they talk about in the Amish cultures.
Yeah.
There's that deep sense of purpose, identity, together.
Well, you got God.
Yeah, well, and they have each other. That
yeah,
they,
yeah.
So, like, right, the Amish community, they leave when
yeah.
they're 18 for a year
that
or two.
That Rumspringer thing,
yeah,
right?
And then they come back. So many of them come back because there is that deep sense of we accomplished a thing together. We, you know, that...
Yeah.
And as
that's
opposed,
part of it,
as opposed to the hedonist and kind of the narcissist of just like,
yeah,
I am the center of this and this is my world and everything. Like, I feel like, oh,
yeah,
yeah,
no, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I mean, there are some other issues with sort of those cultish kinds of operations, but I,
sure,
know,
no, I'm not, so I'm not celebrate them overall.
But the,
it's an interesting study,
it is, yeah. Absolutely. I did, there's a it's called, One of Us, I think it's a documentary. It's about the Hasidic,
oh, yeah.
The Hasidic community
yeah.
in Williamsburg
mm-hmm.
in Brooklyn and all over there. It's like they have like a 97% retention rate, which is astounding because they're in an urban environment where they bump up against everything in the modern world.
Right.
If you're running around in a horse and buggy in Intercourse, Pennsylvania, you know, with a population
yeah.
of 58 per mile, it's
yeah.
like... It's. I would imagine it's easier to keep people, you know, sort
yeah.
of hemmed in. But.
Yeah, it's a, they. It's hard to adjust to that outside world.
Yeah.
I bet that year you go out, it's overwhelming. There's an amount of
it's
safety.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like waking up in the future.
And you're also, I don't know, I mean, how free are you to make the decision to leave the community? Because they're like, yeah, you can go out there. But by the way, if you stay there... You can't talk to your mother.
Yeah.
You can't talk to your father yeah. or your sibling.
You don't have any money. You,
yeah,
don't, you don't have hireable skills,
yeah,
probably.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're not prepared
yeah,
to go out into the
point.
World and compete.
Yeah. That is a very romantic way to look at it, the way that I kind of told the story, where when you're reality, this 18-year-old kid.
Well, both are true.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You're right. It's not one or the other.
No.
It's both.
Both are true, right? It's like, yeah, it's almost like if somebody... never went swimming and then you just like you drop in the pool and be like, are you uncomfortable? Do you want to come back? You want to get out? Like,
I'd love to.
Well, yeah, the guy doesn't know how to swim. He's flopping around in there. I mean, he may enjoy it, but I think on average they're gonna have a tough time in the water.
Yeah, land sounds great.
Yeah,
I'd
land's
love.
Pretty good. I'm coming back. Yeah.
I love the I read an article today. Are you a sports guy at all?
Just fighting. I follow fighting
okay,
closely.
Okay, boxing
yeah.
or...
And MMA, both.
Okay, and MMA,
yeah,
both. Okay.
Yeah, I follow them pretty closely.
So there's a big story going around today of, or this week, of
yeah.
the Astros stealing signs in a, from a World Series a couple years ago.
Okay,
and,
what happened? What did they do?
So they're kind of coming out all the details right now, but it's a whole operation
yeah.
of a guy in center field, radioing another guy, raising
I
up,
gotcha.
Hands on the fence, fastball,
oh,
hands
right,
down,
right,
you know,
right.
which I am in the camp of if you can figure out a way to steal, then steal. Right, like, right, it's all right, a game. Right. It's all, yeah. I hate purity sports, stuff like that.
Right. Well, if you're not mounting a camera and you're not giving yourself competitive advantages that the other team doesn't have, that's right. when it becomes a problem.
Exactly. Yeah.
Everybody has access to somebody that's watching yeah. and then goes, like, you know.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. That's all, you know. It's, yeah. It's all a funny thing, anyways. Like, just when you, like, scale back and you're like, he put down it, you can't look at his little fingers that he's
yeah,
putting
no,
in between his crotch.
It's all kind of ridiculous.
It's all a
yeah.
silly thing.
Yeah.
But go
is
ahead.
It like counting cards?
I think that's to me that's
which isn't
very,
illegal.
No. I mean, casinos don't want you doing it, obviously, but it's not illegal.
Well, how can anybody stop you? You're looking at the
right.
the cards and trying to determine.
As long as there's no like technology or anything.
Yeah,
beyond,
no, that would know. Be cheating.
Yeah, yeah. Belichick filming a practice illegally. That's cheating.
But how can you steal signs? I see. But how can you steal signs?
I think it was some. There's like a plant in center field. Like they're all coming. Like someone who can see it, or they might have somebody who has a live right. feed, like watching it.
Yeah, I'd have to know the details.
I do too. But more interesting to me though yeah. is one guy that it dramatically affected was this pitcher Yu Darvish for
okay.
the Dodgers. He had a disastrous World Series. He pretty much lost it for the Dodgers.
Oh wow!
And so
yeah.
people have been asking him about it.
I see.
Hey,
right.
what do you think about this?
Right. Yeah.
You know, this hurt you more than anything.
Right.
And he said something. Where he essentially, I'm paraphrasing, I've grown so much since these 2 years that I still want to take responsibility for it.
Wow.
Like, because of this massive life failure, right. I'm a better human. And right. so someone's letting him off the hook. Hey, just say they cheated. It's not your fault anymore, you're not the, you know, he had the easiest excuse in the world. Like, I didn't, that wasn't my fault, but he's kind of like you're saying, the objective, the long game. He's like, no, I have an opportunity to be
yeah,
a better
I
human
think
because
that's,
of
that's kind of what integrity is, right? It's mm-hmm. like going, I'm not going to leap at the nearest excuse, unless it's legitimate. You know, if somebody is, you know, if they're cheating in some way that in a material manner impacted your ability to execute. I don't know. I mean, it's all case by case basis, but certainly, yeah. I mean, that sounds like self awareness.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's like shows. Yeah. And they say, like, there. I was talking to Nate yesterday before he went in.
Yeah.
Bergazzi was in town doing a fundraiser.
Yeah.
And we were talking before, and he's saying, you know, he said, I just hope it's set up that I have a shot.
Yes, right.
There are sometimes right. excuses where you walk into a room and there's just no way.
Yes, that's true. That's true. I mean, you do your best, but I mean, and then of course the flip side is that when you have comics that just suck and they're like, and they're blaming it on the crowd, it's like, well, where's
right.
your responsibility and self-awareness
yeah.
and craft and all that? But
yeah.
but yeah, there are situations you absolutely walk into and you just know it's going to be an uphill battle.
Yeah.
You know, and you do your best, but if it's like, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. No, that yeah, that would still be that you know, the integrity just means not taking the excuse unless
right.
It's a very legitimate experience you're having
right.
and taking
right.
it's personal responsibility in the
yeah,
end.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like that's yeah, it's like, you know, even in a macro political context, like, you know, mm-hmm. if some community's not doing well, you can go, okay, we got f***ed over by you, and you. And also, what part do we play in our own success or failure? And be honest with yourself. And
right. So. I like thinking heavy on this stuff because this is exactly what I'm trying to train my boy, and particularly because he's my
yeah,
oldest.
Sure, yeah, sure, yeah.
Where we use the sports analogy. Yeah. Oh, you know, that ball was high. Never put yourself in a sit. Never blame it on, never blame an authority. Like, you know,
right,
if
right,
you
right.
if you had the opportunity
yeah.
to achieve or not achieve, don't leave that in somebody else's hands.
Always. One of the most concise expressions I heard around complaining in general was, don't ever complain if you don't then follow it up with a way to stop the thing you're complaining about.
Right.
I mean, or address it, right?
Right.
I mean, if you're
right,
complaining
right, right.
about traffic, okay, there was a lot of traffic. I hate, you know, I'm all jammed up. I feel I'm stressed. I'm what? So it's kind of okay to say that out loud if you then subsequently follow it up
yeah.
with, what do I do about it?
What's your action?
What's my action?
Yeah.
What's my action? Do I leave earlier? Do I move? Do I, you know, it's like, and it doesn't mean it's easily solved, but it does mean you're aware enough and taking responsibility for your own emotional state.
Yeah.
Which is the key.
What do you think about it is that leads to complaining?
Complaining?
Why is it just so like
sloppy personal culture?
Sloppy personal. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody that walks around complaining.
It's the easiest thing in the world, right?
Yeah, to complain, we can all spend a day complaining. There's always an excuse to grab.
Is it a helpful cathartic thing, or do you think it puts you in a worse place?
Well, Larry David does it in a way that's brilliant and productive. Mm-hmm. I mean, productive. I shouldn't say that. What is it doing to your life? I mean, in therapy, they call it pathologizing something, right? So there's nothing that you're doing that's inherently wrong. I mean, unless you're out hurting people.
Right.
If you have a behavior that's jamming you up in your life, that's the pathology. That's what makes it unhealthy. So if you have this great life and you're walking around complaining, I've never met anybody like that.
Right.
Most people that are capable of getting something done and generating a decent, fulfilling, somewhat fulfilling, whatever.
Right.
Are not people that walk around complaining.
Right.
It's just complaining without really addressing it. It's just inconsistent with a decent, self-aware life. They're mutually exclusive on some level.
Mm.
So, yeah. Like, are there elements of catharsis? Sure. It's like, I guess.
I don't know that it makes me feel any better. If I do it on stage, yeah, but that's a different. What we do is a totally different
animal. You're turning it into something. Yeah. That's different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you're creating some value.
And them responding.
Yeah.
Like I've.
That can be cathartic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel like you're not alone. It landed. You built something. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not. Yeah, exactly. That's when they talk about just we have a connection now.
Right.
And now I'm doing what I want to put out and you're receiving it.
Right.
And we're hopefully all
right
while they complain about the 2-item minimum.
Yeah, that adds up to me. Sure. No, that makes sense, man.
Well, yeah. I know you got shows tonight, man. I can get out of your hair. I appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, sure. It was fun.
Yeah, you're the man. Thanks,
it was fun. Thanks,
appreciate
buddy.
It.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.